Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee, kurup, guten tag, half a day, jiao, wee, vi, va, cat, bang, jai, janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how, go vegan, from the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical vivisection prison, killitary industrial corporation in the cheese-covered post-constitutional bankster bankrupt corruptocracy mocracy criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, home of Uncle Sam Manillo, where the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, wishing you happy holidays. Oh, they would be so much happier if everyone were vegan. Yes, sad to report that Santa is in serious condition in the cardiac ward. Obesity really taking its toll on the very overweight Mr. Claus. Heart problems, diagnosed with diabetes and prostate cancer, all from his high saturated fat, deadly animal protein-laden reindeer meat and cheese diet. Oh, and all is not going very well at the PR department at the North Pole either. It seems that Santa is coming under fire for outsourcing toy making to the South Pole, and animal rights activists are asking Santa to stop using reindeer altogether, citing undercover video of training methods similar to those used in rodeos and circuses, whips, electric prods, bull hooks. Santa, you need exercise. You need to lose weight. Cross-country skiing, I think that's it for you. No more reindeer transportation. Go vegan, Santa. You'll be healthy in two shakes of a jingle bell, okay? This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Reindeer liberation now. Yeah, what right does a very obese man have to make poor reindeer drag his very heavy, overweight body across the sky? I mean, the founders of the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus are known to have said animals only perform out of fear. And how much fear would it take to make you drag a 350-pound man across the sky? All right, well, am I being too negative here? I mean, it's the holiday spirit, huh? I don't mean to be negative, you know. Supposed to be happy around this time of year. Okay, so the days are getting longer. I'm happy about that. And when the days are so short and the nights are so long, I just feel like hibernating. Yeah. All right, well, I can be full of holiday cheer, I imagine, if I think that, well, for those who celebrate Christmas, they're actually celebrating the birthday of a vegan animal rights activist. After all, historians place Jesus as an Essene Jew. Jesus would have been an Orthodox Jewish rabbi. Essene Jews were vegan. They didn't wear animal skins. Essene Jews would adhere to strict biblical commandments, such as the very first one in the Old Testament, Genesis 1:29. Where it says, "Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for food." It doesn't say a Christmas ham. It doesn't say a Christmas turkey. It really does say to be vegan. Historian Rin Berry, basing his work on ancient texts, and I recommend his book also, which is Food for the Gods, Vegetarianism, and the World's Religions. Rin Berry says that Jesus was not revolting against money changers per se, but against the temple becoming the butcher shop that it was, against the treatment of animals. And Pope Benedict has said that Jesus at the Last Supper would not have eaten lamb because Essene Jews were strict in their dietary practices, which would be vegan. Jesus certainly would never have eaten what you're eating to celebrate his birthday tonight. Today, broadcast date, December 25th, We'll also be running this show as our New Year's program too. But if you're having that ham tonight to celebrate his birthday, how kosher is a Christmas ham? How kosher is a Christmas turkey? Great. If Jesus came back to Earth today and visited your house, there'd be nothing for him to eat. How amazing. Amazing that Jesus is Jewish, his followers are Christians, they can't get along with Jews, and they can't coexist with Muslims, and Jesus is actually in the Quran, just not the lead character there, and I don't know, all the disagreements, huh, right? I say it's Abraham. No, I say it's Ibrahim. Okay, well, we better fight over that. And now the fighting that's going on seems to be about not whether to kill, you know, forget thou shalt not kill. It's about how to kill. Very strange. Muslims and Jews are agreeing. They say thou shalt not use a stun gun in their ritualistic murder in kosher and halal killing of God's children. And then Christians are arguing now that a 4-inch metal bolt in the brain of an animal before throat slashing is the Christian humane thou shalt not way, thou shalt not kill way of killing. And I've posted an interesting article on my Facebook page. Go to Bob Linden, Bob Linden. Interesting article from the BBC there. Yes. How would God kill his innocent, harmless creatures? Dear God, how would you kill the animals whom you love so dearly? Definitely check out that BBC article on my Facebook page. The title of it, Should Animals Be Stunned Before Slaughter? And I'm just wondering why we have slaughter at all. Why would we allow our religions to give us heart disease, cancer, stroke? Couldn't we move more from how we're going to kill to whether we should be killing at all? And of course we shouldn't be. How can we move to a more compassionate and peaceful world? Peace on earth, goodwill to all beings, all creatures, all species. Perhaps we should all open the good book. In this case, I'm talking about the number one Amazon bestseller, The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony by Dr. Will Tuttle. Let's extend the offer to today, if today is December 25th when you're listening, so that we can bring peace on earth, goodwill to all beings. Donate $100 or more through tonight at goveganradio.com, and you will receive the good book, The World Peace Diet, signed by the author, and you'll also receive the audiobook. Donate $25, and you'll receive the audiobook. Okay, and it is our year-end program, out with the old, in with the new, the darkness of despair giving way to brighter days. So maybe we should shine the light on some of the victories of 2011 as we go into 2012 and dedicate ourselves to a year full of vegan, animal liberation, activism. And you can see a lot of the highlights on the website, the allcreatures.org website. But there were victories in 2011. We have West Hollywood banning the sale of fur garments, the first such ban ever. And now are we closer to the end of the disgraceful Canadian seal massacre? It seems that the largest markets for harp seal skins are closing down. Russia, Belarus, and Kazakhstan. Demand for sealskin products has been plummeting, as have the numbers of seals killed over the past few years. 205,000 killed in Canada in 2008, 68,000 in 2010, 38,000 in 2011. That's still 38,000 too many. And now we have to ask China to join the civilized world and end the seal skin imports from Canada. But those are victories right there. The Santa Ana Zoo has banned elephant rides after 25 years. We have a chain of vegan restaurants, over 200 Loving Hut restaurants opening around the world. A big fine against Ringling Brothers, a big settlement toward the end of the year. Shark fin bans that have happened in 2011 in California, the state of Washington, Oregon, Toronto. We see Mike Tyson promoting veganism on a billboard in West Hollywood. Bill Clinton, a former president, has gone vegan. All of this in 2011. Tofurky selling 350,000 tofurkies instead of 350,000 turkeys dying over the holiday season. We saw the World Peace Diet becoming a number one Amazon bestseller. Nine California schools dropped their dissection programs. That's good news for frogs. Frog populations are being decimated around the world. Wild frogs being used in cruel experimentation. And look at what happened. The city of Irvine, in conservative Orange County, California, banned animal circuses, rodeos, and the retail sale of dogs and cats. So, a lot for which to be thankful. We've been successful in so many ways, sometimes so successful, you know, we have the corporations writing legislation to protect their profits, as in the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. Also, I must say I'm not happy about animal rights activists being classified as terrorists. And now, with the National Defense Authorization Act and indefinite military detention of U.S. citizens, I see I have a new cause for 2012 myself, and that's making sure that vegan food is available for Americans in U.S. military detention camps. I'll have to put that on my to-do list. Now, that's too pessimistic, okay? We're animal rights activists. We can do it. We can change the world. And, I do have to mention from the Department of Homeland Security, it's required that I announce this FCC disclaimer warning. Listening to Go Vegan with Bob Linden is a violation of the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act if after listening to this program you have decided to make consumer choices that are vegan and cruelty-free. Please pepper spray yourself, cuff yourself, and turn yourself into the nearest office of the Department of Homeland Security. For your convenience, most of them do have a Starbucks. But we are optimists. We are animal rights activists. Can do. We can do it. And what we need to do is make sure that the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act becomes declared unconstitutional. Coming up on today's program, we have the counsel from the Center for Constitutional Rights just filing a lawsuit against the federal government in the case of Blum v. Holder, U.S. Attorney General. Rachel Mirapol coming up. She's with the Center for Constitutional Rights. Also coming up, Sarah Jane Blum, the Blum in the Blum v. Holder case. So a very interesting and important program coming up today regarding constitutional rights and the intrusion of corporations into our lives. And we have no major corporate backing on this program. We depend on you to make a donation. We have to purchase the airtime every week, and free speech is expensive. So please make a tax-deductible donation. You can make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online, it's goveganradio.com.
Vegans are number one at number two. Meat makes you constipated.
The clock is ticking for planet Earth in crisis. Climate change, rising oceans, melting glaciers, deforestation, floods, fires, tornadoes, loss of biodiversity, hunger, disease, poverty. What do we do? Read the new book from Supreme Master Ching Hai, From Crisis to Peace, The Organic Vegan Way is the Answer. She and her organization have been recognized by world, national, and state leaders for their noble dedication to disaster relief. What is the connection between planetary disaster and meat and dairy consumption? Read From Crisis to Peace, The Organic Vegan Way is the Answer, from Supreme Master Ching Hai. What must we ask of our local and global leaders at this time of crisis? What must we ask of ourselves to save the planet? How do we go from crisis to peace? Read From Crisis to Peace. Read it for free at crisistopeace.org. That's crisis, the number two, peace.org. Read it for free. For more on the environment, compassion for animals, improved human health, and plenty of free vegan cooking lessons, visit suprememastertv.com. Read the new book from Supreme Master Ching Hai at crisistopeace.org. Do you know the way to eat in San Jose? A special treat, no meat in San Jose. It's Vegetarian House Organic Vegan Restaurant, 520 East Santa Clara Street, downtown San Jose. Vegetarian House, a world-class dining experience since 1994, featuring fine cuisine from around the world. Vietnam, China, Thailand, India, Europe, the Middle East, and the Americas. Made from local organic GMO-free ingredients. Sauces, bean curd, and noodles made in-house. Powered by rooftop solar panels, Vegetarian House, concerned with the environment, compassion for animals, and your health, offers to-go packaging that's biodegradable and compostable. See the extensive menu at vegetarianhouse.us, including appetizers, soups, salads, sandwiches, dazzling desserts, organic fruit and vegetable juices. Vegetarian House, 520 East Santa Clara Street, San Jose. Catering available. Open for weekday lunch specials from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., dinner 5 to 9, Saturday and Sunday 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Call 408-292-3798, vegetarianhouse.us.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. For 10 years, animal liberation, media infiltration. You can support the program. We have to buy the airtime every week. Free speech is expensive. We purchase airtime every week through the support of listeners who make tax-deductible donations. You can make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio, P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco 94147. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online, go to goveganradio.com. I am concerned that since the passage of the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, that this program itself is a violation of the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. And let's take a look at our constitutional rights, violations thereof. A lawsuit has just been filed on behalf of animal activists by the Center for Constitutional Rights. And today my guest is Rachel Maripol. She's worked at the Center for Constitutional Rights since 2002. She's the co-editor and primary author of the Jailhouse Lawyer's Handbook, a widely requested resource for prisoners, and the editor of America's Disappeared, Secret Imprisonment, Detainees, and the War on Terror. Rachel is currently lead counsel on Turkmen versus Ashcroft, the class action suit on behalf of Arab and Muslim men rounded up in immigration sweeps after 9/11. She also represents federal prisoners held in the Bureau of Prisons Secretive Communication Management Units and is involved in several Green Scare defense cases. And we will also be talking to Sarah Jane Blum, who is the lead plaintiff on the case. So, Rachel, welcome to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being here. So give us some background. What, you know, people, I think, would be shocked that a certain group of political activists might be singled out to be terrorists in a very strange way. It struck me as unconstitutional from the very start, a law written by the industries who exploit animals. But tell us about the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act.
Absolutely. Well, the act is very unusual, mostly because of just how broad it is and the overwhelming failure in the law to define any of its terms. So on its face, the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act punishes actions taken which damage or cause loss of real or personal property to an animal enterprise or any business that has a connection with an animal enterprise. Now, that doesn't sound so bad at first reading. Property destruction, after all, is a crime. However, the real problem comes in the law's failure to define any terms. So the law doesn't say anything about what it means to damage or cause loss of real or personal property. And if we look at prior court decisions and common legal usage, we see that that includes loss of profits to a business. In other words, under the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, if an activist causes a business to lose profits and that business uses or sells animal products or has any connection to a business that uses or sells animal products, that activist has just become a terrorist.
Well, that is rather shocking because, of course, I joke about this radio show perhaps itself being a violation of the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, but I would like to see the complete collapse of the meat industry, McDonald's go out of business, all furriers, all fur farms. Just by saying that, did I just make myself a terrorist?
Well, it's hard to say, and that's the real problem. I think most protests, or many protests, have their goal causing damage to an industry or a store through changing public opinion about whether that industry's practices are legitimate, through educating the public about what's actually going on so people can make informed choices about where they want to shop, what products they want to buy. These are all things that we routinely think of as legitimate advocacy, legitimate protest. Even actions that, you know, cross a line into illegality, nonviolent civil disobedience. Well, that's stuff that, you know, seems part and parcel of the American tradition. We celebrate nonviolent civil disobedience. We assume it has a place in our discourse. And yet, under the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, it seems to be an act of terrorism. So, now, there haven't been that many prosecutions under the act so far. However, that doesn't mean it isn't having a really damaging impact on the animal rights community and possibly other communities as well. And we hear lots of stories about individuals who have really been silenced because of this law and are now not engaging in lawful First Amendment protected protest and advocacy.
Because they are fearful of becoming terrorists in the eyes of the law. So civil disobedience, those students who were pepper sprayed there, had they been in front of a vivisection laboratory, they may have been terrorists that day. It's and have there been prosecutions and convictions under this law?
There have been a few. The very first indictment under the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act came in 2009. That was a case brought against four activists in California who were alleged to have protested in front of on the front lawn of university professors who engage in vivisection. And the indictment accused them of violating the law primarily because of the way that they were chanting in front of these professors' homes, allegedly in a threatening manner. Those indictments were actually dismissed a year later on the Center for Constitutional Rights motion, not because the law itself was unconstitutional, as the court held, but rather because the indictments were written so broadly, they just parroted the language of the statute, which is something we're seeing a lot in these cases. They didn't actually say what the defendants were supposed to have done to violate the law. And especially in the context of a First Amendment case, that's very problematic, because the judge then has no opportunity to determine, you know, does this prosecution violate the First Amendment? Should I throw it out before it even gets to a jury, before I even put these defendants through the pain and difficulty of facing trial?
And there they are, they're just chanting, and they could be terrorists in the eyes of the law. I think they were also writing animal rights slogans with chalk on the sidewalk. Again, another terrorist act. It's amazing how one could be a terrorist and nonviolent. How does that happen?
You know, I really don't know. I don't think it's the kind of thing that most people in the country think of when they think of terrorism. But a lot of this rhetoric that we hear, the story about eco-terrorists, you know, it's really a story that's been purchased by corporations and sold in Washington. The FBI now says that animal rights activists and environmental activists are the number one domestic terrorist threat. This despite the fact that no animal rights or environmental activist in this country has ever injured a single person. How are they terrorists? You tell me. Of course, it's important to understand that while the law is aimed at animal rights activists, it's written so broadly that it actually could be applied to activists from many different communities. And that's something that, you know, everyone in the social justice community should be aware of.
How did this law come to be? And I don't know how it got passed, but how did it come to happen?
Well, in the usual way, and that refers, of course, to corporate lobbying. You know, the law was urged by exactly those corporations who we see profiting from it. Pharmaceutical industry, farming industry, industries whose bottom lines are injured by animal rights activists' lawful protest as well as unlawful property destruction.
Well, we're talking to Rachel Maripol. She is counsel with the Center for Constitutional Rights. The website ccrjustice.org. So now, how has this lawsuit come to be?
So the Center for Constitutional Rights just filed Blum v. Holder last week, and we are challenging the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act on several different ways. We're asking a court, a federal district court in Massachusetts, to strike down the law in the whole, to say that it's unconstitutional, it cannot be enforced against the plaintiffs in the case or anyone else. Our claims center around the First Amendment. Specifically, we say that the law is so broad that it attempts to penalize so much protected First Amendment activity that it violates the First Amendment and must be struck down. We're also arguing that the law is so vague as to violate due process. It fails to give people enough information so they know whether their actions actually violate the law or not. And finally, we're challenging the way that the law discriminates based on content and viewpoint. So the fact that the law singles out activists whose actions may have the tendency to cause animal enterprises to lose profit, as opposed to any other type of business or any other type of activism.
Right, like toy store enterprises or bakery enterprises, right? It's just picking out animal enterprises. And by the way, it picks a word like enterprise, which makes it, you know, sound a little less guilty of perhaps what animal rights activists think might be, you know, who is really conducting the terrorism here, you know? I mean, it's just, it just kind of softens it to say an animal enterprise. I don't know, there's something about that bothers me too.
I understand, I hear what you're saying. And I think it also sort of makes it sound a little more rare as well. You wouldn't get the impression when reading the statute that actually what's being given extra protection is, you know, almost every corporation you can think of.
Amazing. So the case is Blum v. Holder, Holder being the Attorney General, Eric Holder. And coming up after the break, we will talk to the Blum in the Blum v. Holder case, Sarah Jane Blum, an animal activist who alleges that her freedom of speech has been violated by the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. If you've missed any of our conversation, the program is archived at goveganradio.com. And you can help us stay on the air. Free speech is expensive. We purchase airtime, as we've done every week for 10 years now. And where else do you hear anti-Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act programming? But right here. So you can make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio, P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco 94147. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online, it's goveganradio.com.
Meat Eaters, the destroy the earth.
Compassion is the fashion, and there's nothing more fashionable than men's and women's patched jeans, patched denim, and patched skirts from Sonus Denim, a San Francisco company that promises to never use animals in its clothing line. No fur, leather, wool, silk, or snakeskin, and Sonus Denim is dedicated to animal rights philanthropy. Check the website for retail locations, then set the trend in Sonus Denim. How do you spell Sonus? Well, S is in strawberry, O is in orange, N is in nut, A is in apple, S is in strawberry. SonusDenim.com.
Did you know that you could save 100 animals each year simply by adopting a meat-free diet? And if that's not enough, it's healthy and delicious too. Getting started is easy. Just visit PETA.org to request a free vegetarian starter kit. With recipes, tips on dining out, health information, and videos, it's everything you need to begin eating right for the animals, the environment, and your health. Go to PETA.org to order your free vegetarian starter kit today.
You will love EcoDogsAndCats.com because it has everything you need for your special loved ones. EcoDogsAndCats.com. Everything 100% vegan, natural, humane, eco-friendly, and organic when possible. Vegan dog food, vegan cat food. Yes, vegan cat food from EcoDogsAndCats.com. Vegan treats for dogs and cats. Check out Sam's Yams, sweet potato treats for dogs who love to chew. Supplements, grooming, toys, collars and leashes, bedding, litter, litter disposal. Visit now. EcoDogsAndCats.com. EcoDogsAndCats.com. EcoDogsAndCats.com.
Cows, pigs, and chickens don't want to be food.
It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. You can advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services. Email me, it's Bob at goveganradio.com. Before the break, we were talking to Rachel Maripol. She is counsel with the Center for Constitutional Rights. A lawsuit has just been filed against the federal government, Eric Holder, Attorney General. The case is Blum v. Holder, Blum being Sarah Jane Blum, who is the animal rights activist, the lead plaintiff in the case. And welcome to Go Vegan with Bob Linden, Sarah Jane. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me and for covering this important, really under-examined issue.
Well, thank you for being here. And how are you involved with it? How are you the lead plaintiff?
I would say that how I got to be lead plaintiff is anybody's guess, because the number of people who have had their lives impacted by the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act is beyond what I could count to. The number of activists who feel the same silencing that I feel is really incalculable. It's a whole generation of animal rights activists who do not feel free to speak our minds, who do not feel like we can articulate our ethical and moral views without fear of being ripped apart from our families and deemed terrorists under the federal government.
It is really amazing. I know when the law was first passed in California, we were doing demonstrations about against Palm Wonderful, the juice that was doing experimentation on animals, and I was going to pour some of the juice into the street, and somebody said, "Don't do it. You could be violating the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act by doing that." And you know, I was really shocked, but this. Is producing those kinds of shockwaves. Well, tell us a bit about your activism, Sarah Jane.
Yeah, in 2003, actually along with one of my co-plaintiffs, Ryan Shapiro, and others, I founded GourmetCruelty.com, which was a coalition dedicated to exposing the cruelty of the foie gras industry, mainly through compiling undercover video footage and engaging in open rescue tactics. So for over a year in California and in New York State, we investigated what happens on foie gras factory farms and made a documentary about it.
The documentary is Delicacy of Despair?
Yes, it's called Delicacy of Despair. And yeah, we showed it widely. And also, when we were finished with compiling all the footage and we really had a good sense that we could say, you know, the torture and forced feeding of ducks and geese for foie gras is both clearly an example of animal cruelty and also completely standard business practice for these industries, you know, we brought it to the media. I showed them footage of myself rescuing birds who were on the verge of death and in need of immediate medical attention. I showed them video of me teaching those birds how to walk again, teaching them how to eat on their own. And all of this footage was then taken to be pretty much the argument that then would go on to convince the state of California to ban the production and sale of foie gras, which is a law that is due to go into effect in August of 2012. And the real irony of the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act is that now, even though, you know, the whistleblowing that we did, the civil disobedience that we engaged in, the rescue and saving the lives of animals that we took it upon ourselves to do is considered to be, you know, so part and parcel of how people want to treat animals that it's changed the policies of the state of California. I'm the one who feels that I can't even talk about it anymore. I can't talk about what I saw on factory farms because I'm afraid that I am going to be arrested and prosecuted as a terrorist.
Because you're guilty of hurting profits of an animal enterprise, right? I mean that really is the goal of our actions, though. We don't want people ordering foie gras at a restaurant, or we don't want foie gras being produced, the force feeding of ducks. So really, our goal is defined as an act of terrorism, you know, and really, I think the only...
Well, if almost any protest is designed as an act of terrorism. One of the ironies that I'm thinking about a lot as I'm going through this is that, you know, Cesar Chavez is on a postage stamp for encouraging a boycott of grapes. What if the workers he was trying to advocate for were working, I don't know, at a meat process, at a meat packing plant? What would have happened then?
Mm-hmm. Or we might even have the Fruit Enterprise Terrorism Act also, you know, coming next, right? If you're boycotting grapes, what's next after the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act? Maybe the Fruit Enterprise Terrorism Act. It's really.
I'm likely to think that at this point there's no corporation that does one without the other. You know, you jokingly in the last segment spoke of, you know, if you were protesting toys, but I can't think of a single large corporation that sells toys that probably doesn't sell at least one toy with a little bit of wool on it, or, you know, a
sort of glue that has an animal product in it.
Wow.
You stress the notion of the animal enterprise as far as you want.
That, I really haven't thought in such broad terms, but this is really a very broad, vague law. Really shocking. Of course, the real terrorism here is the only terror is they're afraid of losing their profits. It's really profit-based terror, which really, I don't know how the law has come to this, you know, where someone like you, who are advocating for compassion and against cruelty, can be so concerned about speaking out. So how do we feel this case is going to go? Rachel Maripol, the Center for Constitutional Rights, how will things develop? Will we win? Will the Constitution win in the end?
Well, we certainly hope so. You know, a law, as I said in the beginning, this law is so unique in its breadth and its failure to define its terms that, you know, I am hopeful that the court will recognize just how dangerous this law is and just what an impact it's having on stifling activists' freedom of speech. You know, I was interested in what you were just saying, Bob, about the terror of losing profits. Because one thing that, you know, we haven't mentioned so far is that even penalties under the law are pegged toward profit loss. So activists who cause businesses to lose profit or damage businesses' property, the time that they might face in prison is directly pegged to the money value of that damage, you know, how much profit loss is caused. And that's true even if the loss is caused by a third party. So if an advocate succeeds in educating people about cruelty on foie gras farms or cruelty on other factory farms, and a third party in response goes out and commits an act of property destruction, you know, that property destruction could be used against the initial advocate, even though that wasn't their intent in determining damages. And in that way, nonviolent protesters who are prosecuted under the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act could face up to 20 years in federal prison.
That is unbelievable, unbelievable. We have about a minute left. So, Sarah Jane Blum, was there anything else you wanted to mention before we have to close here?
You know, my closing thought is that it's very difficult to say, even as somebody who wants to change the world for the better, that I am scared, and I am scared of my government. And I just want to ask all my fellow activists and anybody who's listening to this program to remember that your voice still counts and your actions still count. And I am never going to stop asking people to think about what they eat and think about what they do and try to live a compassionate life.
I'm with you on that. You know, what's a little scary to me is I've been arrested half a dozen times, and I wasn't even breaking a law. I was using a megaphone, which is constitutionally protected free speech, and you know, haven't been convicted. So it's very strange, these what are considered violations of free speech here. And Rachel Maripol, 30 seconds left. Anything you wanted to mention?
Just that I really hope that people who hear the show talk to their friends about this law. It's an issue that really hasn't received hardly any attention among the mainstream press, and is only sort of beginning to be known among activist press as well. So, you know, even if outside the animal rights community, everyone needs to be talking about this. It's an issue that affects all social justice advocates.
Well, I've gotten involved with the Occupy movement and Occupy LA and Occupy San Francisco, and I'm definitely passing the word around on this because, you know, they have their anti-corporate attitude, and this is a prime example. So I'll get the word out to them. Thanks for being with me today, Rachel Maripol, Center for Constitutional Rights. That's ccrjustice.org. And Sarah Jane Blum in the case of Blum v. Holder. And thank you, Sarah Jane, for the great work you do on behalf of animals. We love you for it, and we want you to speak out, and I want to speak out. Again, thank you. You're brave for being on the radio show today, which in itself obviously is a violation of the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. So thanks for being with us. It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com.
Vegans are number one at number two. Meat makes you constipated.
Here's an easy way to create more delicious, healthful, and affordable meals. Visit recipefactory.net, where you can analyze existing recipes or create new ones, customized to use or avoid specific ingredients, meet your dietary, aesthetic, and budget requirements. Check complete protein, inflammation, and glycemic load. Create food and meal substitutes. Upload your recipe creations and download others. Visit recipefactory.net. Create at recipefactory.net.
Sweet Lemon Vegan Bistro in Portland is so popular, it's had to expand its seating. Find out for yourself why Sweet Lemon rates such rave reviews for its 100% vegan, Asian, and American fusion creative cuisine. Some dishes found nowhere else. See the menu at sweetlemonveggiebistro.com. Catering trays, vegan cakes, and delivery are available. Sweet Lemon in the Bethany Village Center, 4888 Northwest Bethany Boulevard. Call 503-617-1419. Sweet Lemon Vegan Bistro.
If you were looking for the perfect formula diet, where would you find it? Read the book, The Perfect Formula Diet, How to Lose Weight and Get Healthy Now with 6 Kinds of Whole Foods, written by Janice Stanger, PhD, certified in plant-based nutrition. The Perfect Formula Diet is based on over 1,000 scientific studies and is endorsed by Dr. T. Colin Campbell, author of the China Study, Neil Barnard, MD of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, and other experts on nutrition. The Perfect Formula Diet, practical and easy to read, and with a plan to make it work for you, whether you're already vegan or ready to make the transition to a healthier lifestyle. The Perfect Formula Diet by Janice Stanger, available from Amazon or perfectformuladiet.com.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
Go Vegan with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. We've had a very interesting discussion about the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, the corporate-written unconstitutional law that turns nonviolent protesters into terrorists. If you've missed any of our discussion, our program is archived at goveganradio.com. Well, we're coming up on the new year. I hope it's your resolution to go vegan if you haven't done so already in January. That marks our 11th anniversary of Go Vegan with Bob Linden, the first vegan animal liberation mainstream media radio program as heard on Air America. And free speech is expensive. We have to buy the airtime every week. So please support us with a tax-deductible donation. You can make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. Back when we started this program 11 years ago, people were asking me, what is a vegan anyway? What does of the vegan eat? And now in 2011, we have Glamour magazine on the health and fitness page saying that, well, the headline right there, why is everyone going vegan? Glamour magazine says veganism is exploding. It says more than half of the 1,500 chefs who took the National Restaurant Association survey, What's Hot in 2011, cited vegan entrees as a top trend. So come on, get with the trend, huh? Meat, dairy, fish, eggs, How 20th century? Come on, get with the trend and go vegan. Help us save the planet. Save your children's life. Save the world from world hunger and poverty, climate change, deforestation, habitat destruction. In the months ahead, including January, we'll talk about the health benefits of being vegan and how you can do it too. And this will be my, I went vegan in 1984, so this will be my 28th birthday as a vegan this coming year. There's been an FDA recall of some of IAM's proactive health smart puppy dry dog food, a product of Procter & Gamble. I don't know why you'd be buying IAM's anyway when it experiments on dogs, and it's a product of Procter & Gamble, the world's worst corporate vivisector. The recalled IAM's dog food has high levels of an extremely toxic mold. Why not treat your dog and cat to vegan food? Vegan dog food is available, like V-Dog, Evolution. Dick Van Patten has a vegan dog food. Often the vegan dog foods are represented as the non-allergen foods of various companies. And you can order vegan dog food and vegan cat food from ecodogsandcats.com, a totally vegan company. Advertise your vegan products and services. Email me. It's bob@goveganradio.com. And you can be my friend on Facebook, where you find me as Bob Linden. I know I have another fan page. I haven't paid attention to that or the Twitter in a while. I promise 2012, my New Year's resolution is to keep better track and be more involved with my socialist networking. Also, coming up in the weeks ahead, we'll have our bumper sticker available for the political year. You'll have your choice of eat Republicans, not animals, and eat Democrats, not animals. Remember, it's not a political endorsement, merely a dietary suggestion. Okay, well, I want to thank you for listening. I wish you health and happiness in the coming year, 2012. Let's make it vegan, make a better world. Peace begins on your plate, so does health and saving the animals. So happy New Year. Let's go vegan. Bob Linden here with the Go Vegan Friday feature on Green 960. Don't miss Go Vegan with Bob Linden this Sunday afternoon at 3. It's Christmas Sunday, so we'll talk about Jesus, the vegan animal rights activist, whose birthday is celebrated, but ask, why is his birthday celebrated with food he would not approve? A Christmas ham, not very kosher, or turkey? And what about Thou Shalt Not Kill? I'll also talk about a recent BBC article where, forget about Thou Shalt Not Kill, Jews, Muslims, and Christians are arguing over the correct way to kill, to stun or not to stun, and how humane is humane killing. We'll talk about animal rights victories in 2011, but what's really important about this week's show are my guests. Rachel Mirapol is counsel with the Center for Constitutional Rights, which just filed a lawsuit against the federal government, Blum v. Holder, to have the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act declared unconstitutional. Yes, there is a new law on the books written by corporations that classifies peaceful, nonviolent protesters as terrorists. Under this law, my radio program makes me a terrorist. My other guest on this week's show is the Blum in Blum v. Holder. Oh, the Holder is Eric Holder, U.S. Attorney General, and Blum is Sarah Jane Blum, an animal rights activist, who alleges the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act has violated her free speech. There's been a recall of Iams dog food. I'll tell you about it Sunday at 3 p.m. But why buy Iams, a company that experiments on dogs, a subsidiary of Procter & Gamble, one of the worst vivisecting corporations in the world, when you can buy vegan dog food like V-Dog or Evolution or Dick Van Patten? For vegan dog food and vegan cat food, visit vegandogsandcats.com. And for food ideas throughout the holiday season, visit recipefactory.net. Broadcast of Go Vegan with Bob Linden made possible in the Bay Area by Vegetarian House, international world-class vegan organic cuisine in downtown San Jose at 520 East Santa Clara Street. Visit vegetarianhouse.us. And by Loving Hut Vegan Restaurants, over 200 worldwide. Visit lovinghut.us for the Bay Area location near you, including 516 Barber Lane in Milpitas and 165 University Avenue in Palo Alto. Please support our program with a tax-deductible donation. Donate $100 or more right now through Sunday at goveganradio.com, and you'll receive the number one Amazon bestseller, The World Peace Diet, signed by author Will Tuttle, plus the audiobook. Advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services. Email me, Bob at goveganradio.com.